Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
But this morning we want to look at the serving gifts from Romans chapter 12. The serving gifts. These are gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives to us to serve Him with in the church. And so we'll look at that. And then this evening, we're going to begin to look at sign gifts, but particularly this evening, we're going to look at speaking in tongues, and that'll be the main title of, that'll be the main object of the message tonight, is to talk about tongues and the interpretation of tongues. But this morning, the serving gifts from Romans 12. And I'm going to begin just by reading verse 3 of Romans 12, and then we'll pray. And the Word of God says, Romans 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So we're going to talk this morning about these gifts that God has given to every person in the church. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bless those who are here. Fill them with your Holy Spirit that they may hear your word. We pray for all those that may not be saved, that you will convict them, save their souls this morning. We do pray for all the ministries going on here this morning and also for those not able to be here. And I pray that you would bless them and be with them. We ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. So verse 3 of Romans 12 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or seriously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Usually when we study the gifts of the Spirit, and we will not thoroughly study all of them, we're kind of doing an overview of the Holy Spirit. Plus, when my book is done, I don't want to do the whole book here. that way no one would buy it then. So I want to make sure that we give you a taste of what we're going to go over. And yes, Lois, that was for you if you're listening. Miss Lois thinks that I put little jokes in my messages just for her, and some of them are for her, so that one was for her. But nonetheless, usually the gifts are divided into serving gifts and sign gifts. The sign gifts are gifts that have a particular miraculous quality to them, and that would include the gifts named in 1 Corinthians, speaking of tongues and the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and all those kind of things. And then the serving gifts are spoken of here in Romans 12. And there are also gifts of calling that are spoken of in the book of Ephesians. And we probably will not go over those during this series, but the gifts of calling, when the Bible says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Those are gifts of calling that the Holy Spirit gives as well. But in Romans 12 and verse 3, beginning this discussion of the serving gifts, the Word of God says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me." Now, when Paul says this, he is talking about the grace of God that was given unto him as far as giving him his calling to be an apostle and thus his authority. So he's saying this with authority. "So I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now, one of the problems with the abuse of spiritual gifts is that people that are gifted begin to think of themselves, may begin to think of themselves with pride and more highly than they ought to think of themselves. And so He's warning us. He's saying, the Word of God is saying here, that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We ought not to be prideful because God gave us these gifts. And so if you're particularly good at something and gifted at something, it's because God gave it to you, so don't get full of pride about it. Right? And so that's what he's saying here. Every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or seriously according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, oftentimes I've used this verse in order to teach that God has given to everyone faith. And some he gives a lot of faith and some he gives a little faith. And that's the way I've heard it preached. Actually, it's not really talking about that. What it's saying is that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, and that faith that he's given them is to exercise their spiritual gift. In other words, he gives some people faith to preach, some people faith to teach, some people faith to administer, and so he's given them faith to exercise those different gifts. And that's what it's talking about in context. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, Romans 12 and verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So every church is made up of many members, and the church in the Bible is pictured and spoken of as a body. And so just like in your body, you have hands and you have feet and you have eyes and so on. Those are the members, many members, but the members don't have the same office or function. Your hands don't do the same thing your eyes do. And your feet don't do the same thing your hands do, unless you walk on your hands, which some people do. But nonetheless, now, folks, I haven't had anything to eat so far today, but I have had two large cups of coffee. And so I'm ready to go up here. But there's no telling what we may say this morning. So we're going to try and stick to the Bible. But all members have not the same office. And so just like your body parts, your hands, your feet, your eyes, so on, do not have the same functions, so the people that make up the membership of a church do not have the same functions because they have different gifts. So they utilize their gifts. Now, one thing we'll see from this is that everybody, the moment you get saved, you're born again by faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment you are gifted with at least one of these gifts. And you are supposed to use that gift or the gifts you have in the church to carry out your proper functions. That's why no believer in Jesus Christ can fulfill what God has put them on earth to do unless they're a part of a local church, because it is within the church that you utilize the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you to minister and to help to grow the body and to edify the body, to build up the body. And so you can't do that outside of the local church. That's not the way that God has ordained to utilize the gifts. And so that is an important thing to remember. Because I know every time we preach to the wrong crowd about this, because everybody that's here, you know, is in church. But there are folks who think that they don't need the church, and they really believe they can function outside of the church. But we do need the church, and so that's important. I know everybody here knows that, but nonetheless, it's important to remind us all of that. So all members, we have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. Then verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ. So in verse 4, he talked about the diversity, and here he talks about the unity. We being many, even with our different gifts, We are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So just like a body, like the hands don't function independently of the body. By the way, did you see in the news that they're going to, there's a guy going to do a head transplant. He's been working on that for 30 years. Don't know if that's going to work or not, but anyway, he's going to do it and he's going to try it. I hope it works. But the body parts, you know, a head by itself can't do anything. It needs a body. And the hands by themselves can't do anything. They need the other parts of the body to function. And I've been watching all the episodes. I've been watching on Netflix Bones lately, all the episodes, and they always will get a hand or some other part that's been chopped off, and she'll figure out, you know, what happened to the guy, how old the guy was, and so on and so forth. But really, body parts don't function without a body. And that's what he's saying here, is that individual members of the church by themselves do not function best without the other members. We function as one body. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, verse 6, the Word of God says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So just like God has given each of us the measure of faith to exercise those gifts, He has given us grace to receive those gifts. And then he begins to talk about the gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, prophecy is preaching. That's what prophecy is. Usually when we think about prophecy, we think about predicting the future. But really, throughout the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, mainly prophecy is speaking of preaching. And there's often confusion about that. That's why some people will teach that prophecy is done away with, and they're talking about revelatory prophecy. That is, somebody coming out and saying, thus saith the Lord, and speaking the word of God. Now, that kind of prophecy is done away with because the Bible is complete. And the book of Revelation warns us that we are not to add anything to the Bible. To that book in particular, but that covers the whole Bible. And the truth of the matter is that the Bible's complete, and we do not need new revelations. What we need is a fresh look at the old revelations of God and people filled with the Spirit of God obeying those things that are already in Scripture. But primarily throughout the Bible, when you see the word prophecy and you see a prophet, you're looking at a preacher. And that's what prophecy is. And we can divide this up into, to understand this, foretelling is predicting the things that God says will be or predicting the future. Forthtelling is preaching the word of God. And so today, prophecy is primarily forthtelling. That is, preaching the word of God. And every church has prophets. Every church has got to have preachers. Church can't function without preachers, people that proclaim the word of God, people that speak forth the word of God. So prophecy. And then another gift that is spoken of here is ministry. Romans 12:7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. And we'll get to teaching in a second, but ministry equals serving. That's what ministry is. And every church needs servants, people that will serve. When we have a dinner on the grounds, we've got to have people that will fix the food. You can't have the senior citizens meal without Miss Alfie, because she fixes food and other people that fix the food. You've got to have servants. You've got to have people that serve. last night, well, yesterday morning, Jeff called me at work, and he was trying to ask me if it was okay if he went in our house, but you know, we're not living there, so he was already inside when I called him back, and I said, you know, that's great. And he said, well, we're trying to figure out, you're measuring for the, whatever that stuff is. Shoe mold. Something to go along the floor area. And what he's doing there is that is the function of a servant. He's out there trying to serve, trying to make sure everything is done correctly. That's also another gift that we'll talk about in a moment, but serving, it's absolutely imperative that every church has to have servants. And again, when he's talking about the unity in the body, if everybody preached, then nothing would ever get done in the church. You'd just have preaching. Everybody would be preaching. You wouldn't have anybody to clean the church or to fix food or to do other things that are necessary to do. So you've got to have servants, ministry. All right. Now, verse 7 also, or he that teacheth on teaching. So every church must have teaching and teachers. Now, teaching is explaining the word of God. That's what teaching is. A lot of people want to get complex with teaching, but that's all that teaching is. Teaching is explaining the word of God. So what would the Sunday school be if you didn't have Sunday school teachers? What would our Wednesday night service be if we didn't have Bible teachers? What would preaching be if you didn't have some teaching with it? It would just be me getting up here and yelling at you, telling you what you needed to do. But there's got to be teaching. There's got to be explaining the Word of God. I remember years ago I was preaching in the jail. And this one inmate didn't like the way I preached, and he complained about it. And he said, he don't preach right. And what he meant was, is that I didn't have an alliterated outline, and I didn't do things the way he was used to. I would come in and teach the Bible. And he didn't like that. But a lot of people don't understand that the function of a pastor, according to the Bible, talking about those calling, gifts of calling, the pastor is said to be the pastor teacher. Now, a teacher is a specific gift, but pastoring always includes teaching. You have to be able to be a shepherd and a teacher. You have to teach the Word of God. So we have to explain the Word of God. And every church has got to have teachers. And if you're called to teach, there's nothing wrong with sharpening those skills, nothing wrong with learning and studying. All of us have had to do that. But if you're called to teach, you'll teach, and people will see that you're supposed to do that. I remember when I was first started preaching, I was so arrogant because I'd never preached that I thought, I hate to say this, but it's true. I was so arrogant. 25 years ago, maybe, that I thought that I did not need to learn how to preach. And we had one of the best preachers that I've ever heard, Brother Tony Howeth, and he was doing a class at our church on how to preach. And he had a bunch of guys in there, and he was teaching how to preach. And I refused to go to the class because I was that arrogant that I didn't know how to preach. I finally realized I didn't know how to preach, or I wasn't as good as I thought I was when I was in Bible college, and I started preaching in the jail, because that's the first time I had preached on a regular basis. And so when I started going in there and teaching and preaching, I finally realized that I wasn't as good as I thought I was. And so you had to study, had to learn. But teaching, explaining the Word of God. And every church has to have teachers. Then the Bible says in verse 8, Romans 12, 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. And we'll just look at that and then we'll get to the other gifts. Now, exhortation equals encouragement. Every church needs encouragers. Miss Shirley's an encourager. After I preach, she comes up and says, that's a good message. and my wife does too, usually. Every church has got to have encouragers, people to encourage. Wouldn't it be terrible if everybody was critical? You got to have critical people. But if everybody was critical, everybody would walk around being discouraged. So you've got to have encouragers, need encouraging people. And then the Bible says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Now, all Christians should give. But this is a special grace. It's someone who loves to give, someone who's generous. All Christians ought to give. A church can't function without everybody contributing financially to the church. And I hardly ever preach about giving. But the truth of the matter is, everybody should give. And we practice tithing here, and you say, well, I don't feel like I can afford to tithe. Okay, give something then. Give something. Test your faith. Give something. And God will bless you for that. Some people preach about giving like God's the mafia. Perhaps you've heard that before. But I heard a lot of that when I was younger. And they would teach like that God was like this mafia guy. And he would go around, and if you didn't give precisely 10% of your income, they would say things like, God's going to make you poor. And then they would tell stories about God breaking down people's cars, having their cars break down and having them get sick. And it was like God was this mafia guy that was going around and doing all this stuff to people if they didn't give exactly 10%. And wow, and it scared people. But the truth of the matter is that in the New Testament, God says, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And God wants you to be happy. So, when you give. And so, just give. Test Him. Try Him. See what God will do for you if you give. See if God won't bless you for doing it. One of the greatest blessings that April and I have experienced, and a lot of people have experienced, has been the ability to give in a faith promise program to support missions and missionaries. And you give in that, it's by faith, and you say, I'm going to give so much a month or so much a week, and you just give, and you see what God does. And many people have testified that they've given to that, and that God provided the money miraculously, and He took care of things, and it was a wonderful thing. But giving, you cannot outgive God, and everybody should give. But there are some people that are gifted as givers. There are some people that are gifted as givers. My dad was like that. He was gifted in that way. April's dad seems to be like that. And I know other people, there are people in this church I know that are like that, but they are particularly gifted and they want to give. And the Bible says, that he that giveth, let me back up to the verse, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So those that are particularly gifted to give, that want to do that, that's their grace, that's their thing, they need to do it in a simple manner and in an honest manner. Because the word simplicity has the idea of honesty. They're to do it in a simple, in an honest manner, in a straightforward manner. And the Bible tells us that. And then the Bible says, he that ruleth with diligence. Now ruling is the gift of administration. So every church has got to have people that are administrators. You can't get anything done unless you have administrators. You've got to have people in charge of stuff. And so there are people particularly gifted to do that, gifted as administrators. And you've got to have that. And these are all gifts of the Spirit. And God gives, again, God gives at least one of these gifts to everyone when they get saved, the moment they get saved. But many Christians have more than one of these gifts. Then the Bible says, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So those that show mercy to people, those that go to, when somebody falls, that go to try and restore that person, show mercy to that person, do it with cheerfulness. Be happy about it. I don't know how you do it without cheerfulness, but there might be somebody that's just, you know, in a bad mood. God says do it with cheerfulness. If you're going to restore somebody, if somebody's fallen, you certainly don't want to go without cheerfulness and say, you need to get back up and come back to church. That doesn't encourage people to come back to church. Do it with cheerfulness. God loves you, man. You come on, get back up, come back. God loves you. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And every church needs people to be ready to extend mercy to others. Now, in total, there are seven of these gifts. We have prophecy or preaching, ministry or serving, teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving, ruling or administration, and showing mercy. And there's a story that I heard a pastor in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brother Frank Ramser did this illustration, this story, and I think it's one of the best I've ever heard. And I've told it here before, and those that have heard it before would love to hear it again. And those that would not love to hear it again are going to hear it again. So I'm going to tell it. But here it is. Brother Frank told this story about someone comes down the church aisle carrying water for the pastor. Water in a glass, not in a bottle that makes the crinkly noise. That was for you, Johnny. But nonetheless, they come down the aisle carrying this glass of water, and on their way down the aisle, they trip and they spill the water. Okay, all the people with the gift of prophecy, because they proclaim things, they point and say, look, they spilled the water. All of the ministers, the servants, go and try to help them clean up the water. The teachers give them a book. This is what I would do. The teachers give them a book on how to carry water properly. The exhorters, the encouragers, say, man, get back up. You'll be able to carry that water. You can do it. You're good at carrying water. It's okay. The givers give them a spill-proof mug so that they won't be able to spill the water again. The rulers, the administrators, coordinate the cleanup effort. They say, hey, you come over here and you get this, get a bucket. And those that show mercy come and say, hey, man, you know, it's okay. Everybody falls sometimes. You'll be able to carry water again. Just get back up, and it's okay. And so that's how these gifts work together. That's just, it's just a simple story, but it's an illustration of how these gifts work together in the church. So, God gives gifts. In closing, every believer has one or more spiritual gifts. Find out what yours is. There's spiritual gift surveys online. Lifeway has a spiritual gift survey. If you don't know what your gifts are, you might want to look those up and take one. Or we can print one out for you, but find out what your gift is. Number two, every member of Harmony is equipped in some way to serve in the church, so serve. Serve. Don't just sit there. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Just don't just come to church and sit. Sir, do something. Now, if you just want to come and sit, we're glad you come and sit. But do something. You're gifted. Use those gifts. And then finally, the church will function as a healthy body when we all work together in unity, exercising our gifts. That's how the church functions. As a healthy body is when we all get together and work. Dr. Curtis Hudson said in the 1970s, he said that the average church is like an ailing lung with only a few cells doing the breathing. And that's true. Usually you only have a few people that are serving. But if everybody serves, then the church functions like it is supposed to. So find out what your gift is. And don't be intimidated. Look, some people get scared. Oh, they're going to put me up teaching. Nobody's going to put you up teaching. That's not your gift. If you're gifted to teach, you'll teach. John's a teacher. And he always says, well, I don't know if I should be doing this or not. Look, he's doing it because he's a teacher. And we can develop those gifts, but by the way, you can pray for God to give you certain gifts. But utilize the gifts. Find out what your gifts are and utilize them in the church. Now, in closing, once again, if you've never been saved, then you may have talents and abilities, but the things you have aren't spiritual gifts until you're saved. All right? The Holy Spirit gifts you with those things. So if you've never been saved, get saved. That's the only way you can exercise your spiritual gifts in the church is to be born again, because you've got to get the Holy Spirit inside of you to have spiritual gifts. So get saved. Get born again. Trust Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. He'll change your life. He'll forgive your sins. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll give you assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. Get saved if you've never been saved. And we'll be happy to talk to you about that. But let's pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work you're doing. I do pray that we would use the gifts you have given us to serve you in this church. I also pray if anyone here is not saved, that they would just talk to me or my wife after the service and say, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. And we'll be happy to show them how to be saved. But I do pray now that you would just help us to surrender our lives to you and to use the gifts that you have given us through your Holy Spirit to serve you in the church. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.